Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Government in 8 years has followed a right-wing ideology of anything goes, no supervision, no discipline, no regulation. Again, all of us are believers in free markets, but we have to do it right.
I think it is a shock, like you said. I'm amazed they would even call for a vote if they didn't think they had the votes to back it up and pass it. So at the end of the day, I think the shock is going to knock this market down. We hit 700 down on the Dow. I think we easily can test that going forward.
I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone, something.
Another Petrovanta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop.
If, in fact, that turns out to be the case over the next period, then I will be... very cheerfully admit error and take the rest of the year off.
That, of course, is Barney Frank, and I've played a piece from Nancy Pelosi from one of the talking heads about the decline in the market. Then a segment from The Godfather where he wanted his son to become a senator or a congressman, and he says, yes, another Petz and Avante. And then we play Barney Frank, who, of course, is a Petz, not a Petz and Avante, which is the reason we're in this trouble to begin with. Now, I want to remind you, and it's important that I do, that I, Michael Savage, was the only one in the electronic media to talk about greenlining as the basis for this entire debacle, and I did so 6 months ago. Most of you didn't even know what I was talking about. I got only one response. I tried it over and over again 6 months ago. I told you it was because of the liberal Democrats demanding that banks give loans to unqualified minorities and illegal aliens. I told you that. I don't know how many of you remember it. I told you this. Now you say, well, good. Now what are you going to tell me? Well, I'll tell you a lot of things. I have an awful lot to say, and I can't summarize it in 60 seconds or less. But just remember one thing. Just because I don't have a financial show doesn't mean I don't understand finances, number one. And number two, I was the first in the electronic media to warn you that it was the liberal Democrats and their social engineering that caused this collapse. They forced the banks to give loans to people who never should have qualified for a mortgage. I did this 6 months ago. I did it 3 months ago. I did it 2 months ago, and it fell on deaf ears. Now, with regard to the bailout that failed today, let's look at the way the top talk radio hosts reacted to this bailout proposal. Rush Limbaugh supported the bailout. Sean Hannity supported the bailout. Bill O'Reilly supported the bailout. Michael Savage opposed the bailout. Laura Ingraham opposed the bailout. What you see by this is that the hosts who are owned by the big companies, the hosts who are dependent upon guests from the Republican administration, the hosts who are the biggest beltway insiders who pretend to be outsiders, the ones who cannot exist without access, the hosts who get a call from the president on their anniversaries, these are the ones who supported the bailout. I believe they have betrayed their audiences. They have deceived the people. They have taken their pieces of silver and denied their nation. Only Michael Savage and a few others were true to the American people and were vindicated today. The people have spoken. We will not give the bums on Wall Street another penny. Talk radio should have told you this the second the bailout was proposed. And if you listen to me, that's exactly what you heard. All of talk radio should have been equal to this task, but some talk show hosts are more equal than others. Now, I want to read you some of the comments made today. Representative Pete Visclosky, Democrat in Indiana, who voted against it, said this: "We are now in the golden age of thieves, and where I come from, we put thieves in jail. We don't bail them out." Check. Pete Visclosky, Democrat, voted against it. Here's another gentleman from Indiana. I believe this particular bill would be devastating to the economy and create an inflationary nightmare. We must also ensure that we are not inadvertently purchasing bad debt from China or other countries. Who said that? Representative Dan Burton, Republican. He voted against it. So don't assume that this was a partisan defeat. In fact, the defeat was bipartisan. The only people who were defeated were Nancy Pelosi and George Bush. Fundamentally, they were defeated. This is a huge story, and it's just begun. It's not over. It has just begun. It is not over. Now, I actually investigated highlights of the $700 billion financial market bailout plan, and I sent it to michaelsavage.com. We're having trouble with the site. It will be up by tonight. I was shocked to see that some of the highlights were exactly what we feared. They were worse than we feared. Did you know? Okay, we were screaming. The people were saying, don't bail out the thieves who robbed us, right? So Congress was trying to reassure us that there were going to be compensation limits on executive pay. Total lie. They told us that there was going to be oversight. Total lie. Let me explain the details of what was actually in the bill. And you'll find out what liars these people really are. How, I mean, we know their ratings are lower than that of a dentist. Let's put it to you that way. Giving you a root canal without anesthesia. Okay. We were told that there was going to be executive compensation limits. Let me read you a highlight of the financial market bailout plan that failed today. I'll read it to you exactly. It's one paragraph. If the Treasury purchases at least $300 million in mortgage-based assets from a financial institution, that company would lose the ability to take a tax deduction on the amount of salaries that exceed $500,000 for its top five individuals. It also includes, listen to this, a 20% excise tax on golden parachute payments triggered by events other than retirement. Listen to what I'm saying to you. So it didn't limit golden parachutes. All they did was tax it by 20%. There was no executive compensation limit here. None whatsoever. It was Paulson standing up for his friends at Goldman Sachs. It was Paulson, in essence, standing up for his friends on Wall Street. And there were no executive compensation limits that were of any significance. But what about we were told that there would be oversight this time? That after years of Wild West deregulation by George Bush and his cronies, by Chris Cox, who frankly should have been thrown out months ago and should be investigated by the FBI yesterday, let's see what kind of oversight this bill that failed actually had in it. Are you ready for this, Whopper? Oversight. Here's what the bill actually says. Creates a financial stability oversight board, close quote, to oversee the program. Now, listen to who is on the Financial Stability Oversight Board to oversee the program. One, Chairman of the Federal Reserve. Two, the SEC Commission. Who's that? Chris Cox. The Federal Home Finance Agency Director. The HUD Secretary. The HUD Secretary is the very man who forced the banks to give loans to unqualified minorities. They're now the Financial Stability Oversight Board. Do you hear this? Now, there's a little more to it, but I won't bore you with the detail. But, you know, I went beyond the headlines. I actually went beyond CNBC. I went beyond Fox. I went beyond CNN. I did. I actually got you the highlights of the $700 billion financial market bailout plan, and I didn't like it. Now, I got to tell you, my family is split on this. I am taking a lot of flack within my own family on this. There are some in my family who were in favor of the bailout. Perhaps they have more financial acumen than I do. I am opposed to the bailout on principle, number one. And to me, principle is the key rule that drives this show. It's a chief engine that drives the show. I could be wrong financially, by the way, although I doubt it. As I said last week, I frankly think that the chip should fall where they may. And by denying the bailout, we're going to have a collapse possibly of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and some intermediary banks. And I think that that's not such a bad thing for the country. I think it will cool off the wild, rampant casino speculative activities that have been occurring on Wall Street. We don't need a casino. What we need is a stock market. Now, I did a show on causes of the Great Depression back on September 18, 2008, which is, I guess, 11 days ago. And I told you that it was largely margin buying that caused the meltdown of the stock market in 1929. Now, I learned this in high school. I learned this as a child 15 years of age in Jamaica High School in Queens, New York, that wild speculation and buying on margin caused the first Great Depression, 1929. And there were protections put in place. What is buying on margin? Quote, using loans secured by only a small fraction of the stock's value. So in other words, people were speculating like it is a racetrack. So what happened was the president, FDR, came up with a national bank holiday. The bank holiday closed all banks. They were permitted to reopen only after being deemed solvent by government inspectors. And then they were reopened. Now, it's true one-fifth of the banks in existence at the start of 1930 had failed. But the stock market crash forced the government that followed to impose large down payments to buy stocks. Did you understand what I'm saying to you? Just as I told you, when I went to buy my first house way back in the late 60s, I couldn't get a mortgage. They wouldn't give it to me. I begged the banker. I said, I have 10% down to buy a $40,000 or it was $35,000 house. He said, I'm sorry, you can't do it. You need 20%. I came back. I said, I have 15%. 6 months later, he said, I'm sorry, I cannot give you a mortgage unless you have a minimum of 20% down. He would not give me a mortgage. I watched this market. I watched houses double. I could not buy a house. It was an age when houses were going up double in value, the late 60s, early 70s, if you remember. And I was a young guy. I wanted to get in on the housing market. They wouldn't give me the mortgage because the banks at that time were restricted by the federal government. It was all thrown out the window by George Bush and the Democrats. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I was disappointed in the vote with the United States Congress on the economic rescue plan. We put forth a plan that was...
All right,
no,
thanks,
George. We're
still looking for the WMDs. We're still mired in Iraq. And you're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I have in front of me some things in this bill that were stuffed in by Democrats that will make your hair stand up. You ought to be thankful that the Democrats, who are fiscal conservatives, joined Republicans to kill this bill. Did you know what they stuck in there? Affordable housing earmark went in there. Did you know that? And this provision was not part of the original Treasury plan. La Raza gets a lot of the money. Affordable housing earmark for La Raza was worked into it by your good friends in the government. Did you know the troubled assets were added to this? Did you know that the Treasury Department's original request for mortgage-related assets has been broadened to include more classes of securities, including those backed by car loans and credit card debt? That was tacked on. Pork barrel again by the same porkers who should be thrown in jail. Never mind, thrown out of office. You see gangsters running the government, and you wonder why it went down. I'll tell you the truth. The people spoke, and we find out we still do have a voice. You know, it's 24 minutes after the hour right now, and on the East Coast, it's almost sundown. And many of my listeners on the East Coast are going to turn the show off because they observe the most important holiday of the year for Jewish people called Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year, meaning it's New Year's Eve. And they will be leaving me. And it's important that I make that note for three reasons. One, because this is a nation founded upon the principles of Judeo-Christian values, make no mistake about it. And the more you know about Jewish holidays and the relationship to Christian holidays and traditions, the stronger you will be as an American, irrespective of whether you are a practicing religious person or not. And I intend to spend a few minutes today talking about the meaning of religion in general without specifying. And I think I'll do that in the next 3 minutes before I get back to finances, and I will tell you why. Because it's times like this that are going to have many people searching their soul. Many of you listening to the show will have been wiped out by this crisis before this is over, or you have already lost your 401k or your pension plan, whether you know it or not. And many of you are going to think the world is coming to an end. Well, one world ends, another world begins. One world ends, another world begins. From the beginning of time, tragedies have occurred, both personal, financial, physical, you name it. Sure, it's the end of the world in some ways, But it's the beginning of another world, maybe a kinder world, a gentler world, a more meaningful world, a deeper world, instead of a showy world, a world where everything is just simply what I own, what I wear, what I this, what I that, I. Maybe you'll come to understand that there's a higher authority, a higher power. As Albert Einstein, one of the great minds of the last century, the man who discovered E equals MC squared, he was the theoretical physicist who gave us the foundation for the engineering that created the atomic bomb, for better or for worse. It made us a superpower and, of course, permitted most of us to live rather than dying, because had he not broken open the concept of E equals MC squared, perhaps, just perhaps, if we didn't have the technological know-how that we had in this country, Germany or Japan would have gotten the bomb first, and we would have been snuffed out. That's the kind of war it was. It was called total war. So for better or for worse, here we are. What I want to say to you is Albert Einstein said that a life without purpose is not worth living. A life without purpose is not worth living, is what Einstein said in his dying days, as he lay dying and still writing his physical, his physics, the theory of everything. As he lay dying, he said that a life without purpose is not worth living. And what I'm getting to you is there's got to be more purpose to life than getting and spending. Sure, getting and spending is wonderful. We all do it. We all scurry after the next fragment of gold like the people we are. We have been from the beginning of time. Man has always chased money. But remember what I just said to you. You can learn to live with less. You can learn not to go on 10 vacations a year. You can learn not to have 10 cars. There are many things you can learn to live without. And what I'm telling you is you're going to have to learn to live in a different way, and we all will. And if you study your religious teachings, you know what it's all about? Humility. All of religion is about teaching you to live in bad times. Who needs religion when things are good? Do you cry out for God when things are going well and you made $1 million or $10 million? Or everything is coming up roses, you tend to turn away from God. It's only when tragedy strikes. As my father many years ago was dying in a hospital, I remember some of my uncles saying, and I don't know who, this is when we turn to God. We only turn to God when things go bad. Maybe it was meant in a bit of cynical way. I really didn't understand it. I was a little kid. Yeah, well, I understand that. Many people understand that too. There are no atheists in a foxhole. As I say to you, there are many things to be gained from bad. This is an opportunity for America. It's an opportunity for this nation to rediscover its roots that were not built upon greed and the worship of Mammon. Forget the golden idol.
Savage.
Talking about worshiping the golden calf, we are talking about idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made them for themselves to worship. We are talking about a meltdown of biblical proportions. We are talking about corruption and greed of biblical proportions. But there is a silver lining, and the silver lining is that they didn't get away with it. Democrats and Republicans joined together to express the voice of the people. Main Street, in other words, beat Wall Street. And we have with us right now a very fine congressman from Texas. Unfortunately, he's not from California. I wish that we could have had someone from California who was as articulate as Representative John Culberson, Republican of Texas, as our guest. Congressman, what's next? Tell us what went on and what's next.
Michael, it's great to be with you. You're one of my heroes, and I want to tell you what's coming next. The best information I can get, Michael, is that Congress will be back in session Thursday night and probably by Friday pass out some piece of legislation of some sort to deal with this financial crisis. And I am convinced that the vote today on my part, I know in a lot of other fiscal conservatives, this was a matter of principle, Michael. I am here as a fiscal conservative to do everything I can to keep from loading up our kids with too much debt. And I saw this as an unacceptable choice between bankrupting our children or bankrupting a few Wall Street firms that made bad decisions.
Well, I have the highlights of the plan, and I read it on the show today. I could not believe that although we were promised executive compensation limits, there was really nothing to stop the golden parachute payments other than a 20% excise tax. Wasn't that insulting?
Well, not only that, Michael, I'll tell you, the bill, as you also noticed, just gave the Secretary of the Treasury unlimited authority. He could bail out any financial institution anywhere in the world with U.S. tax dollars. We could be bailing out foreign-owned financial institutions. He can buy any financial instrument that he wished to at any price, at any time, and all he had to do was tell Congress about it. It's an unbelievable...
That's crazy. That's totally nuts. Well, now I understand why some Democrats from conservative states... such as Indiana, joined with you. Representative Pete Viscloski said, where I come from, we put thieves in jail. We don't bail them out. Also, we had a fine Republican named Dan Burton who said, I believe this particular bill would be devastating to the economy and create an inflationary nightmare. We must also ensure that we are not inadvertently purchasing bad debt from China. That's exactly what you just said. Now, these points were not mentioned on CNBC or any of the major cable channels. They didn't even talk about bailing out foreign debt.
I certainly did in my floor statement, and I'm glad to be able to have a chance to say it here to your listeners, Michael. If they'll just go read the bill online, they'll see right up front that the definition of financial instrument is anything that the Secretary wishes to purchase, and then he's got authority to buy those financial instruments. He can bail out any – let me repeat this. It's very important. The Secretary of the Treasury, if this bill had passed today, would be able to bail out any financial institution anywhere in the world buying any type of financial security that he wished. With our federal tax dollars, literally he could have bailed out foreign – owned financial institutions. The only exception would be centrally owned banks owned by foreign government. That's it. That's the only restriction. Why?
Well, I see. Representative Culberson, there's an article up on my website that just shocked me. I didn't even know it went up. It shows some of the people that back Obama in the streets demanding that money go to Acorn. Obama's organizer pals pushed for bad mortgages. Acorn's drive to lower mortgage standards paved the way for the meltdown, yet last week it was holding protests trying to get a cut of the rescue bill. Also, La Raza was going to wind up with some of the money. I could not believe this. That's what the Democrats packed in at the last minute over the weekend?
And that's what the Democrats will probably try to pack in now, Michael, that the bill failed today. I expect the Speaker to come back and load a lot of that stuff up into the bill. And we need to be thinking about legislating for the next generation and not the next election. Do the right thing for the right reasons. And it's just deeply disappointing and distressing to me that the most important vote of our congressional, of our lifetime, certainly, this is the biggest expansion of the power of the federal government to have probably occurred really since the founding of the nation. It's an unprecedented grab of power by the Secretary of the Treasury. And we've got to look at the details. It's important that we remember why we're here, to try to protect the middle of the American Republic is left, and we've got to make sure that we are, while we're comforting the nation and let them know that we're going to deal with this crisis in a way that restores confidence in the markets, we have got to preserve what made this country great, and those are our free market core principles where you have the freedom to succeed, you also have the freedom to fail, and that bad actors are not rewarded, and we're not going to load our kids up with an unaffordable debt burden that'll bankrupt this nation and turn us into the Weimar Republic. We've got to be careful. And
well, here in San Francisco, we're way past the Weimar Republic. They had, in the midst of all of this, a so-called Folsom Street Fair where naked men cavorted with whips and chains and leather yesterday. I noticed that our Italian grandmother, Nancy Pelosi, had nothing to say about values. This went on in the sickest city in the world. We're way past the Weimar Republic. I only pray that there's no Hitler in the wings. Representative Culberson, thanks very much, and God bless you for doing God's work. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, Michael. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. So don't assume that it was a locked deal. We still have a participatory democracy because they did not get to shake us down even further. Now, I want to go into this article on michaelsavage.com that was put up from the New York Post. Barack's organizer buds pushed for bad mortgages by Stanley Kurtz. What is a community organizer? Well, many of you know that Barack Obama said that he's a community organizer. That's what he did. He said one thing is they intimidate banks into making high-risk loans to customers with poor credit. I have been telling you about greenlining. I told you this 6 months ago. In other words, community organizers are mobs, and they break into meetings and they scare everybody. One key pioneer of Acorn's subprime loan shakedown racket was Madeline Talbot, an activist with extensive ties to Barack Obama. She was also in on the ground floor of the disastrous turn in Fannie Mae's mortgage policies. Long the director of Chicago Acorn, Talbot is a specialist in direct action. What does that mean? Organizers term for their militant tactics of intimidation and disrupting meetings. Her most famous stunt was leading a group of Acorn loudmouths and breaking into a meeting of the Chicago City Council to push for a, quote, living wage law shouting as she was arrested for mob action and disorderly conduct. But she pushed banks into making risky mortgage loans. They have the nerve to be out in the streets again as near as a few weeks ago, demanding that the banks continue to be bailed out. The very same people who were bailed out without being qualified, they want more money given to them. And Talbot continued her effort, as she put it, to drag banks kicking and screaming into high-risk loans. A September 1993 story in the Chicago Sun-Times presents her as the leader of an initiative in which five area financial institutions were participating in a $55 million national pilot program with affordable housing group Acorn to make mortgages for low and moderate income people with troubled credit histories. Well, what was different about this was the participation of Fannie Mae, which had agreed to buy up the loans if this pilot program works, crowed Talbot. She said it will send the message to the lending community that it's okay to make these kind of loans. Well, the pilot program worked real fine, and Fannie Mae's message that risky loans to minorities were okay was sent throughout America. Well, the rest is history. There's been a meltdown because of these community organizers that worked for Barack Hussein Obama, the Barney Franks of the world, or who caused this. And when Obama was just a budding community organizer in Chicago, this Talbot was so impressed that she asked Obama to train her personal staff. So understand there are ramifications to electing Barack Hussein Obama, and you've already seen them on Wall Street. Last night I had the opportunity to be around some very nice people, and most of them were liberal people. They agreed in inviting me not to discuss politics. I think there was an agreement that politics would not come up, and they were very polite about it. It did not come up. Well, after a few wines and a few drinks, politics seeped out into the conversation, and the election came up. I didn't say anything. I kind of walked away with my dog. But when I came back, I said with a very small smile, I said, "May I ask you something? How many bedrooms do you have in your house?" To a very nice liberal lady. And she said, "Four." And I said, "You're living in there only with your husband, correct?" She said, "Yes." I said, visualize an Obama government sending an agent out to your house saying, "How many bedrooms do you have in your house?" And you say, "Four." Then they ask you how many people permanently reside in the house, and you say, "Two." And then the government agent, the good liberal activist, says to you, "The government is temporarily going to be using those two additional bedrooms to house people who were hurt by the recent financial meltdown. Please open your doors and welcome them with a welcome basket beginning January, February 15th. This is only temporary. We're not seizing your property. We believe in the free market. We're only using those two extra bedrooms in order to help the needy," which I'm sure you will agree with as a good liberal. Needless to say, the liberal individual who I presented that scenario to was awakened to the consequences for electing Barack Hussein Obama. I would recommend that anyone listening to this show who is so given to rewatch the movie Dr. Zhivago. Julie Andrews, 30 years ago, a wonderful depiction of what the Bolshevik Revolution did in communist Russia, did to then Russia, which became communist. They took away vast homes from the rich and gave them to the poor, who wrecked them, turned them into trash. In other words, visualize Section 8 housing. Visualize the people on earth who cannot afford a house because they don't deserve a house, because they never worked for a house, and they shouldn't be living in a house. They should be living in barracks provided by the government called public housing. They shouldn't be living in a home provided by the government through bailout mortgages. Do you get the picture? I get the picture. Now, there are other things to talk about. This is the lowest rated Congress in history. The boss is Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi has destroyed Congress. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have enough Botox in her doctor's needle to bring back that smile after today's defeat. Nancy Pelosi delivered an embarrassment to her party, and of course, President Bush is in that party. President Bush is no longer a Republican. I have said for several years now he's not been a Republican. I don't think he belongs to the Democrat Party either. I think President Bush answers to a higher authority somewhere in Saudi Arabia. Chicago, Illinois, Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for not supporting the bailout. I was confused all week with people I used to trust, like Bill O'Reilly and Newt Gingrich, who you have called out. And I just wanted
You can make your own decision. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly supported the bailout. I believe all three of them supported the Dubai ports bill because the government, meaning George Bush, told them to. That's how I read that picture. I didn't see it that way. I looked at the interest of the, for the interest of the American people, and I said we must flood Congress and stop the Dubai ports bill. I didn't do this because I didn't like the government or I didn't like somebody. I did it because I didn't want people in Dubai controlling the port security in America.
I was always not supporting the bailout bill, Dr. Savage. I was a custom home builder for 19 years. I shut down last November like most good builders should. There is no demand for our supply.
That's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. So you're out of business?
Yes, but I'm working, and I never asked for a bailout, and I never expected a penny, and I never worked.
Rod, you built beautiful custom homes. You were not a builder of large-scale developments, correct?
Correct.
So if I bought a lot, I'd call Rob, and you would build me a custom home, that type of thing?
Yes.
And right now that market's over?
Yes.
So what are you doing for a living in your case?
Sales. I'm a salesman.
Well, you know, that's not pleasant. I'm sure you're working harder than you ever have in your adult life.
Correct. Yes.
And you were opposed to the bailout, Rob?
110% from the second it came about. I listened to every conservative talk host that I know about, read everything about it, that supported it, and could not understand how in the world we have come to that point. That those type of people who are supposed to trust to our conservative views would think of bailing out the criminals that put us in this place.
Well, there you go. That's how I look at it. I mean, I'm from another age. Maybe it's because they're younger than me and they see things in a nuanced way, the way liberals do. And I guess you'll have to reevaluate what their real politics are. Because the fact of the matter is, I don't bail out the crooks who got us in this position in the first place. I compared it to the Titanic last week, if you listen to the show. Here we have a crew that rammed us into an iceberg, and they're saying, let me have the wheel again, and I won't ram it into an iceberg. Why should we trust them? I want an entirely new crew on the helm, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Well, there it is, common sense. How can I trust Paulson, who came from Goldman Sachs? I've been asking that for 2 months now, and I've been a voice crying in the wilderness. It's not that I'm accusing him of any wrongdoing, but even the appearance of impropriety was shocking, and nobody seemed to notice it but me.
I noticed it, and a lot of people like me noticed it, and there's a lot of people in my industry that are out of work or doing other work and making half the money or a third of the money, but we're still working. We're still not going to go down the path of socialism because some people higher up are...
Can you believe that George Bush, at the end of the day, turned out to be what I called him, a fiscal socialist, and I've been calling him that for over a year? Do you remember a month ago he wrote a check for $48 billion to Africa? Where is that money coming from?
I can't believe they wrote a billion-dollar check to Georgia when we don't even have any money here.
Yeah, he's sitting with that stooge from Georgia, who, by the way, is not our friend. He's a self-important demagogue, and I cannot understand. Here's a man. You want to go into foreign affairs, 60 seconds or less? Another great blunder by George Bush. They provoked Russia into a military action to defend their flank. That's all it was. There was no need for this stooge from Georgia to start seizing segments of the area that didn't belong to Georgia to begin with. They provoked Russia into that action. And now we have Russia moving warships with nuclear missiles to Venezuela to counteract this Bush blunder. Again, of the top five, Michael Savage was the only one who said, no, we were wrong. We provoked Russia. Again, the very same guys that claimed to be wrapped in the flag were all in favor of attack Russia now. Go to war with Russia. Can you believe this?
No, we don't need to go to war with anybody else. We need to deal with our problems.
No, we need to go to war. We, the people, have gone to war, and we're going to go to war again with our emails and our faxes and our calls. That is the new ammunition. We're going to go to war, and we're going to make sure that everybody who voted for this gets thrown out of office on the Republican side. And every Democrat who voted against it should be reelected. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Savage Nation, you know, this is no time for moralizing, so I think I'll moralize. And I think I will turn to Isaiah and read you one paragraph. In that, if you think there's something new under the sun, I'd like to read you something from the Bible. And I mean the Old Testament, written thousands of years ago. In that day, a man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. Now, whatever that means, just read it and the idol shall utterly pass away. Now, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com, go to the middle of the page on the right, and you'll see a man in a leather mask, a man, a grown white man, standing at a leather parade yesterday, a leather festival, so to speak, in San Francisco, where people were walking around with their private parts exposed, beating each other up with whips, while others stood around in a drunken stupor or a drunken orgy, witnessing men being whipped in public. And my headline is, The Devil Runs San Francisco. And that's why I said to Representative Culberson, it's interesting to me that you mentioned the Weimar Republic, because this country today is far beyond the has gone far beyond the excesses of the Weimar Republic, which led to Adolf Hitler. God forbid that should ever happen here. But the German people, who were not all Nazis prior to Hitler's arrival on the scene, were shocked by the degenerates of Berlin. They were sickened. The average person in Germany was sickened by the perverts. They were sickened by the artistes. They were just sickened by the leather fetishists. They were sickened by the degeneracy, and they couldn't handle it. Now, you know, leather and this and that is, you say, someone's business. I may agree with you. If a person does so willingly, I could look the other way. But it shouldn't be permitted on a public street. When this occurred last September, I voiced opposition to it. Nancy Pelosi had the nerve to say that as a Catholic grandmother, she's not offended by it. I said, if she's not offended by this, what would offend her? Well, apparently nothing offends Nancy Pelosi except Republicans who don't go along with her iron gavel. No, this shouldn't be permitted in public. They should be arrested by the vice squad. But we have a sick mayor, a useless sick piece of spaghetti. He's not even al dente. You know, he's al softy. We have a mayor that's al softy in this city, not even al dente. The vice squad is now only looking for people who do not burn American flags rather than people who burn American flags. Everything's upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. I guess what I'm getting at is this. At the same time we have the largest financial meltdown in our time, these sickos go to a leather parade and whip each other in the streets, still doing what they do because they're sick. They're mentally ill. Every last person there is a mentally ill person, in my opinion. And what they were doing in the streets was an example not of wholesomeness, but of sickness. And the city mothers looked the other way.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And his allies in Congress infused unnecessary partisanship into the process. Now is not the time to fix the blame. It's time to fix the problem.
Things are never smooth in Congress, and to understand that it will get done, that we are going to make sure that an emergency package is put together because it is required for us to stabilize the markets and to make sure that when a small business person wakes up tomorrow morning, he's going to be able to make payroll. That your 401k and all the planning you've done for your retirement, that's still going to be there. That we're not going to be losing jobs at an even faster clip than we're doing right now.
I don't apologize. That's my life. But I thought that when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone, something.
Another Petinovante.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop.
Well, apparently it was enough time for someone because they busted out America's treasury the way you will bust out a sporting goods store in the famous Sopranos episode. It makes no difference to me who did it. Doesn't matter to me what they're connected or not connected to. The function is the same as organized crime, no matter how you skin the cat. Now, McCain said, now is not the time to fix the blame. Well, I would add, now is the time to blame the fix, because there's no question in the mind of Michael Savage that there was a fix, and the fix was in. Not only was there a fix in on Wall Street before it all came tumbling down, but if you think that the bailout plan was clean and up above board and was going to straighten things out, you are mistaken. I looked at it, and I'm not going to repeat again what I did in the last hour. It's up on michaelsavage.com. It's in two pages. Highlights of a $700 billion bailout plan. It's one page long from a major financial market page. It wasn't from a newspaper. It's actually from Dow Jones. And the highlight of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 08 has a paragraph on executive compensation limits that should make you laugh and cry at the same time. There's no fundamental limit. They didn't eliminate golden parachute payments triggered by events that they may have caused by themselves. All it did was slap a 20% excise tax on such a golden parachute. Is that your idea of a fair and balanced executive compensation controlling mechanism? How about with regard to oversight? Main Street demanded that the crooks have an oversight committee. So the crooks said, okay, we'll put an oversight committee in. Now take a guess who the oversight committee would consist of, the bill that got shot down today. Chairman of the Federal Reserve. Barbasol shave guy. Bernanke, that strange fellow. The fellow who caused it all, actually he didn't cause anything, he's just put in there as a front man for those who did. But he's now in charge of oversight. The guy who oversaw the collapse is now in charge of the oversight. The Securities Exchange Commission, Chris Cox, the guy who let it all happen is on it. Wait, it gets worse. And the head of HUD is on it. The guy on HUD, Housing and Urban Development Secretary, the guy who insisted that mortgages be given to unqualified minorities who couldn't get a dime down payment, he's also on the oversight oversight board. I'm laughing because I have no other response to what this bill is. As Dan Burton of Indiana, who voted against it, said, I believe that we should not inadvertently purchase bad debt from China or other countries. How about what a Democrat who voted against it said? Rep. Pete Visklosky, Democrat, voted against the bailout. Why? Here's what he said. He said, we are now in the golden age of thieves. And where I come from, we put thieves in jail. We don't bail them out. Now, that says it all. That's Main Street talking, and it's not a Republican. It is a Democrat from a conservative district. I have the final vote roll call on this bill. I'm not going to read you all the names. I'm only going to read you the names of the Republicans who voted aye, which means they were in favor of the bailout. John Boehner, Republican, Ohio. Vince Fasella, Republican, Staten Island. He won't be there much longer. As you know, he was caught in a scandal. Pete King voted for it. And Pete talks a good act, but when it comes right down to it, he's not there when you need him. He joined Pelosi and Nadler and the others in voting for the bill. Old King joined Rangel. He joined Pelosi and Nadler in saying yes to Wall Street. So there it is. I mean, I have the list. Tom Tancredo made a lot of noise for a long while about immigration. But when it came down to it, Tom Tancredo, Republican of Colorado, went along with Ellen Tauscher. He went along with Ellen Tauscher. He went along with Chris Shays, the shameful man from Connecticut. And so it leads you to ask yourself, which side are they really on? When a guy like Tom Tancredo will vote along with Waxman of Florida, vote along with Tauscher of California. And I want to pause on Tauscher. Many of you saw a strange-looking, dough-faced woman today in an ugly dress holding the gavel, upholding the congressional vote. And no one knew who she was. But I know who she was. Her name is Ellen Tauscher. You say, well, okay, what does that mean? Does anyone listening to this show know who Ellen Tauscher's, let's put it another way. Does anyone listening to the Savage Nation right now, if you can tell me who Ellen Tauscher is related to, which titan on Wall Street, who put her in office, in my opinion. You'll win a free copy of my new autobiography, Psychological Nudity. I know, so I'll give you the answer. I'll give myself a free copy of the book. Ellen Tauscher unseated a very fine Republican congressman a number of years ago with Wall Street money. Ellen Tauscher is a close relative of a man named Sandy Weil, a famous Wall Street titan who I think is retired. He ran Citibank, amongst other institutions, and he left a number of years ago. But he engineered this seat for Ellen Tauscher in Northern California with unlimited Wall Street money. And here's what you got for your money. Instead of getting a Pets and Avanti, we got a Pets. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Lee thinks the bailout is a good idea. He's up on the Savage Nation. Lee, please tell us why.
Oh, hi, Michael. Listen, I'm a conservative, natural law voter. I voted Republican since Reagan, but I have a lot of criticisms of them. I have an advanced education in medicine, so, you know, I know a few things, but I think if you look at this in a medical sense, it's a little bit more understandable that many, like if you were a doctor and someone working for you committed negligence and an injury occurred, you're responsible for correcting the damage that they did.
Okay.
And in essence, the people who are responsible are Federal Reserve, the government and all its branches, because they were supposed to be enforcing rules that would have prevented this, and they didn't do it.
Where do we disagree? Then how can you give them the authority to correct the problem they caused?
We live by government. It's up by and for the people. These people are our employees. Whatever they do, if they screw up.
Yes, but they are failures. And in the private workplace, if a guy fails, you throw him out and put someone else in his place. Why would you entrust these crooks or these incompetents with the bailout? If you're going to do a bailout, let's do a bailout that makes sense. Don't buy toxic debt. Why should we buy toxic debt? In other words, bad mortgages. This is the part that nobody understands. They're bailing out their friends on Wall Street because they are the crooks who got us in this trouble to begin with. Sure, maybe there should be a bailout, but not run by them, rather not engineered by them.
Okay, can I respond to that?
Please, I wish you would.
Okay, it's like in the body, if you ingest a poison, the poison might go to a certain organ and make it fail. And you can apply a chelating agent that draws it out. And this bailout plan is merely a chelation agent to pull out these bad derivatives that were created by right-wing people who should have known better because they were greedy. And
let's slow down. Only right-wing people created derivatives?
Yes. When one organ fails, it can then cause multi-organ failure.
Wait. You just made a statement that I'm trying to follow. You're saying that right-wing people created derivatives. Who would they be?
Wall Street. Who made all these mortgage-backed securities?
Wall Street. Most of Wall Street are liberals. Look, in fact, if you investigate Paulson, Paulson's a screaming left-winger. Don't you know that, Lee? He backs all sorts of environmental programs that may be well-intentioned but have no effect whatsoever. He is a screaming liberal. I don't know how you can say Paulson's a right-winger.
Well, I don't think we can make that determination, but it's the people.
Well, but you're the one who brought up politics, not me. You're the first one who threw the right-wing label. I wish that I could say Wall Street was right-wing. They're not. Do you know that Wall Street is consistently in favor of illegal immigrants becoming citizens because it's better for the bottom line of the crooks who run the big companies?
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. But the problem
is... Wait, again, that's not right-wingers. That's left-wingers. Or what winger is that? I don't think they're left or right-wingers. I think they're simply greedy.
Well, that may well be true, but the problem is there are hired agents. They committed malpractice. Damage has been done to important organ.
You're in the medical profession. You're a very logical man, and that's part of the problem is using logic where a logic does not apply. But if you want to continue on the logical path, let's be Aristotelian about it. You have a doctor who commits malpractice during a surgery. Would you let that same doctor go back into the patient, or would you bring in another surgeon?
Oh, I agree with you, but these people are going to be gone in a few months.
That's right, but I don't let them go back in and risk cutting another artery.
But the program
has Aren't there other surgeons who could be brought in? Let me give you an example, Lee. We're intelligent men. we're talking here. We're going to have ramifications because already we had effect on this. You guys like you and listeners to this show already stopped this bailout plan. It was not listeners to Rush Limbaugh, not listeners to Sean Hannity, not listeners to Bill O'Reilly, because they failed. We won. It's the party of the people who won. Remember that. And we're going to be heard again. We're saying, sure, we're in favor of a bailout plan, but let's use different surgeons, not the same incompetence who cut the artery. So you bring in new surgeons. That's what I'm saying. Now you say, well, who should that be? Lee, please hear me. And America, please hear me. During World War II, we had a crisis. It was total war. Some of the greatest American businessmen of the time were made generals to run aspects of the military machine that mere military men could not handle, such as supply, logistics, you name it. You follow what I'm saying? Even communications, General Sarnoff of NBC was general, turned into a general in order to run the communications division. That is the propaganda arm of the U.S. government. They didn't use a military guy. There's no reason we couldn't take men out of industries that are actually making a profit, who are honest and above board, and put them immediately into these positions. Get rid of Paulson, get rid of Christopher Cox, get rid of Bernanke, and put in a new troika, not communists. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back. So I live in ground zero of social degeneration and degradation, San Francisco. And I have to go back again to tell you that, to me, you know, there are millions of people who see the world in different ways. This is not a nation of one. This is a nation of many. And it's a nation of many views and many activities. But there are millions of Americans out there who detest the speculators of Wall Street. While they themselves may have bought stock, they had no idea it was being run by stock manipulators. They had no idea that it was run by thieves from top to bottom. And they sure took their life savings and they bought it at a 501K. They didn't really know how this works. They thought they were buying a share of a legitimate company. In some cases, perhaps they are. And in some cases, they will be rewarded quite well. But there are millions of Americans who have discovered that crooks, outright thieves, have been running the casino. And then they look at the degeneracy of Hollywood. They look at the degeneracy that they see on their TV screens. And they go back to their churches. And they shake their heads. And then they read Isaiah. Now, the Bible is laughed at by the intelligent people of America, the educated people who laugh at it. They say, how could these people believe, for example, in creationism and not evolution? How could they believe that dinosaurs roamed the earth at the same time as Adam and Eve, when carbon dating would indicate, of course, the opposite? And, of course, I answered that question for you because I am all-knowing and because I have studied so many things. And as I said to you, you say, when the earth was created in 7 days by God, in biblical time, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, now the earth was unformed, and so forth and so on. To biblical scholars, 7 days could be 7 million years, or 70 million years, or 700 million years. And on the seventh day, God finished his work. So a day to you and a day to me is not the same as a day to a dog. And likewise, a day to you and a day to me is not the same as it is to God. Do you understand what I just said to you? So to me, as a scientist, a man trained in science, I can believe both in the Bible and in evolution. I can believe both in God and in science. To me, they're not mutually exclusive. And that's why I fear God. And that's why I turn to the Holy Scriptures in times like this. And so let me indulge myself for a moment. Isaiah, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that deal corruptly, they have forsaken the Lord. They have contemned the Holy One of Israel. They are turned away backward. And he says, on what part will you be stricken, seeing you stray away more and more? What do you think God was saying through Isaiah? What part shall they be stricken as you stray away more and more? Well, God was talking about the Folsom Street sadomasochistic fair in San Francisco. He's saying to those people, what part will you be stricken of your body, seeing you stray away more and more? And they keep whipping each other, saying, I condemn God. I don't believe in God. That's for the fools. That's for the right-wing Christians. We don't believe in that. And yet they get sick and they die, and they don't even understand they're getting sick and dying from their own behavior. But he goes on, Isaiah, and he writes, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and sores. And he goes on. And listen to this line, and I'm going to stop because it's going to make you stand up finally to the wisdom of the Bible. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, what does God mean by your land, strangers devoured in your presence?
Savage.
I'm not trying to say that the sky is falling, but I will say that there's a big hole in the sky and something has fallen through it. And that something is for you to decide. And of course, where this goes is anybody's guess. I think the people have stood up to the titans of Wall Street. They do have representation. They found out that although they're powerless individually, as a whole, we the people have a voice. We're more powerful than the most powerful of all. And there is still a representative government. And I want to be very clear from my perspective. I don't have a crystal ball, so to speak, nor am I saying we do not need a bailout. I say perhaps we do need a bailout, but not with these thieves running the bailout. As the gentleman who called earlier said, if a surgeon performs surgery and conducts malpractice, don't you let him correct it? I said, absolutely not. You never use the same surgeon who slipped and cut an artery or cut a nerve. You bring in another surgeon. You don't let the same guy who slipped do it. So you get rid of Bernanke. You get rid of Chris Cox. You get rid of Paulson. Throw them out. Then you do a bailout. So you say, well, who can do the job? They're such geniuses that nobody could do it but these three. The troika of communists. The Bolsheviks could not be replaced. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course there are three men who could replace it. I can name three right now. Three respected financiers who are not directly tied to these men. I mean, if you could find them. You'd have to do a little vetting. Men maybe from the Middle West that you never heard of. The Harry Trumans of America. The Harry Trumans who run a company that still makes a real product, that turns a real profit, that doesn't have to go to credit markets for money, for example. What is this credit market business? Not every businessman needs to borrow to keep his business running. Some businesses are making a profit, and they use their profits to pay their bills. To make the packaging and the product and buy the raw materials and to pay the shipper and this and that. They're not borrowing from Wall Street, from a bank to run their company. How naive can you be that the country's going to die if the crooks of Wall Street are not given another cash infusion? The men who cut the artery now want to cut another artery? No, maybe we need a bailout, but not this kind of bailout. First throw the bums out, then we'll talk about a bailout. Now, I want to talk about this in the context of spirituality. Because it cannot be, you can't separate the spirit from the body. Cannot do it. This is so much of the problem that I may have to spend 12 hours on this. I could do a telethon tonight. I have the power in me tonight. I can feel it. I feel all the power that has left me back in me. I feel I'm being moved and used again, okay? Laugh at me if you're an atheist who hates Michael Savage. Or move with me if you believe in me. Because I believe every word I'm about to tell you. I feel a surge of energy and power like I haven't felt in a year. I feel that I'm called upon tonight to speak to you. You can't separate the spirit from the body. Everybody knows that. You ask any doctor about the spirit and the body. Ask any doctor who's watched patients die if there's a spirit. Not whether he believes in God, but if there's a spirit. We all know there's a spirit. Anyone who has a mere dog knows there's a spirit. What am I referring to? I'm talking about the spirit of America. Cannot be separated from the body of America. What is the body of America? Well, from sea to shining sea, the border with Mexico, the border with Canada, the Atlantic and the Pacific, the states have borders, borders, language, culture. I try to define it. George Bush kept taking it apart. The same people who just busted out Wall Street were busting down the borders with the illegal alien onslaught. And by the way, this is very, very bad for the illegal alien mafia. Because they found out that the American people still have representatives. And let me tell you something, John McCain. John McCain, I caution you. John McCain, I caution you. You could still wind up with that Buick dealership in Mongolia if you keep dancing to Bush's drum. John McCain, show some of the fire that you still have in you that I saw during that debate Friday night. For God's sakes, John, listen to your mother. I want to talk about the spirit of America. I was going through my library today, trying to clean out mail that I get, and I was about to throw a book out that someone sent me. I get a lot of stuff, crackpot stuff. And one came to me called A Study in End Time Prophecy by Pastor Roger Brown. I was going to toss it out. Not because I thought anything evil of the man, but I didn't have time to read this large 500-page thing here that he sent me. But something just caught my eye about God and prophecy and where we are today. It says, "Alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." And they have a picture of the World Trade Center, World Trade Centers before they were knocked down in 1 hour. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The cargoes, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls and fine linen and purple." And he's talking about Babylon. And they are saying that New York was the new Babylon. And of course, they say that the reader's attention is directed to the correspondence between the 13 provinces of Rome and the 13 European colonies in America. Again, as a man of logic, I can't tell you that I can easily dismiss this. 13 provinces of Rome? What are they talking about? And yet these people greatly support Israel. Half this book is about God's word being exemplified by the rebirth of Israel. We have read earlier how Jerusalem passed from Turkish rule to British control in 1917, and how eventually the flag of the reborn state of Israel appeared. A land is born in a day, Isaiah 66:8. And so God fulfilled his word through the prophets, and the Jews are back in their promised land. Amen. Now, these are people who believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the Jewish people, and they believe in the Jewish people who practice the Bible, because there's a huge difference between the Jewish people who believe in God and practice the Bible and those who are of the heritage but not of the practice. In fact, those who are of the heritage and not of the practice are the very people that God warned us against in the Bible itself, according to my view of things. My way of always looking at these things, which is why I do not get along with liberals of any religion at the end of the day. They have no idea what danger they're in. It's not that they're evil people. Most of them are actually nice people. They're very nice people, and they're good to be around. But they have no idea what danger they are in. They have no idea what danger they drag us into with their naivete. They have no idea how their worship for this fraud, Obama, can destroy their very homes that they live in. They have no idea. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea the danger they're in. And it's always the other people who have to save them. It's always the people who do believe in guns, God, and the Bible who have to save those who don't believe in guns, God, and the Bible. Isn't that interesting? It's always those who do believe in guns and God who wind up taking the bullet for those who don't believe in guns and God. But I'm not here to talk about guns and God. I'm here to talk about Wall Street and Main Street, to put it in the terms that everybody's using today. And I'm here to talk about Bible prophecies, because I can guarantee you that if you went to church this Sunday, if you had a preacher worth his salt, he was talking about Bible prophecy and suffer the little children to come unto me, as Jesus had said. Why would they say suffer the little children to come unto me? What do they mean by that? We are the little children. We are the little children who are suffering for those who turned away from God. Today, as you listen to me, another 3,500 innocent American babies are going to be legally euthanized inside their mother's womb. In 35 years, America has butchered millions of innocent babies, exceeding the numbers of people killed in each of the world wars of the 20th century. The liberals say that abortion is not only should be kept legal, but it should be increased. Right up to the late-term abortion. Late-term abortion is infanticide. I can't even go into this. When you see newer studies in science showing that as early as 3 months, there's a little soul inside the mother's womb. It's not just a mechanistic protoplasmic mass. God breathed life and a soul into the mother's womb. And yet we can't even stop the slaughter of the innocent. How can we stop the meltdown of Wall Street? Many see this as punishment. I can't say I do. I can't say I do. But many would say this is punishment for this nation having become a degenerate nation, a degenerate plant. That God gave us this freedom. God gave us this nation. It was taken from the Native American. Make no mistake about it. Great sins were inflicted upon the native peoples who then suffered greatly. And here we are. Here we are not even 300 years later. Not even 300 years later. And look at the trouble we're in. Why are we in this trouble? Many reasons. We're all guilty. I don't believe in original sin, but I know we're all guilty. None of us are angels. None of us have a halo, not conservatives, not liberals. But today, again, I have to go back to why I feel this power in me personally, because no matter how I try to turn away from God, and believe me, I've tried. You know, I have to make a confession to you on this show right now. Einstein in his last years tried to disprove all of the theories of his early years. That's what a great mind and man he was. He created some, he said, maybe my theories were wrong, so I'll tell you what I'm going to try to do. He was so open-minded and so not wed to his own theories that he tried to disprove his own theories, and he wasn't able to do so, which is beyond brilliant. It's something only Einstein could have figured out to do to prove his theories were valid once again. But Einstein was not infallible. Einstein was only a man. Einstein missed an entire development in his own field of physical science that gave birth to the transistor and then gave birth to the computer that has revolutionized the world we are in. So even the great minds of our time are not God. Do you understand what I just said to you? Even a mind as great as Einstein's, who discovered and pierced the whole concept of what energy is, he was a theoretical physicist. As a result of his theories, we were able to develop the atomic bomb, for example. But he didn't develop the atomic bomb. It was his concept of what energy is made of, what energy consists of. If you get the core of what energy is, you can release that energy. And by releasing the energy, we've unleashed the nuclear bomb, the nuclear bombs that we all fear. So we come back again to the Bible. It's all about the energy, the spirit, and the body. Is your name written in the book of life? The few million people who are Jewish in this country, of the few million people who are Jewish in this country tonight, of the few million people in this country who are Jewish, comma, tonight, a very small percentage of them actually believe in God. And this very small percentage is no longer listening to this show. They are in synagogue, initiating the 10 days of what they call the High Holy Days, the 10 days of awe. Because according to Jewish tradition, from sundown on the East Coast tonight, or from sundown wherever you may be tonight, until 10 days from night, when the Day of Atonement occurs, it is written that God decides whether you shall be written into the Book of Life. Of course, all of us want to be written into the Book of Life for the next year. And you say, well, this is a fable for children. You got to behave. If you don't behave, God's going to write you out of the book. How can you believe in such nonsense and worship? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is in the Christian Bible derived from the Jewish Bible. So it's always about salvation, whether it's Jews believing in salvation being written into the book of life, or Christians believing in salvation through whatever the affiliation may be. And I'm not going to speak for any of the affiliations. That's for you to do with your own pastor or reverend. But there's an opposite to not being written into the book of life. Is America being written into the book of life? Or will the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out across our land, as has been prophesied and is feared by millions of people around the world? When the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out across the land, it is said that half of the world's people will die from war, famine, or disease in a seven-year period of time. Many people fear that. The world population is billions of people. We have military bases around the world. And yet we're not winning. We fight battles and we don't seem to win when we fight real big armies. So what's going on here? There was a victory in Iraq at great cost. But why are we losing in Afghanistan? Well, that's for the next president to figure out, not for me to figure out. Are we the new Roman Empire? What are we? Why do we have military bases all around the world? Why? Why do we have military bases all around the world? Is this the republic that the founding fathers believed in? Or is this the empire that the Romans believed in? And if it is the latter rather than the former, is that possibly why we see a meltdown on Wall Street, that all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Wall Street together again? So is the United States in prophecy, from colonies to superpower in 300 years? From colonies to superpower in 300 years, and then what happened? Well, I'll let you figure out what happened. And again, let's get down to brass tacks and let's get pragmatic with each other. Now that I've given you a sermon to think about, because there are millions of people who are going back to their Bibles tonight and will be going over the next year to come to try to figure out where we stand, what caused this. Is there a spirit or a spiritual element to this material meltdown? I think the answer is yes. Many of you don't want to believe that there are ramifications for the kinds of things we see in this country. For the sewer pipe that has been running out of Hollywood for 40 years now, there was a time when Hollywood created films that families could go to. There was a time when Hollywood created a movie that you could take your child to. There was a time that Hollywood was loved by America, that boys went to the theater and came out wanting to be Audie Murphy, not a degenerate with an earring in both ears, getting whipped in the public streets. There was a time when women were upheld as wholesome instead of as the degenerates, vermin, sluts, Jezebels, the filth, the lowest filth held up by the movie moguls as role models for your little girl, your nine-year-old girl dressing like a Jezebel, like a whore, dressing like a prostitute, because the sickest minds of our generation put out the sewer pipe, and the sewer pipe pumps its filth into your home day and night. The sewer pipe, my friends, is connected to Wall Street. I have told you for 3 years now that the largest purveyors of pornography in this country, they're not Size House of Rubber off Highway 880. No, the Size House of Rubber or the 25-cent machine, they're not the biggest pornographers in America. The biggest pornographers in America are some of the biggest companies in America, because they own the cable upon which this pornography, through which this pornography flows. In essence, they own the sewer pipes that bring this filth into your home and onto your computer. So if you think that God sees the truth but waits, and that perhaps he stopped waiting, you might be right. And I'll be back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, so forgive me for my digression into the spiritual realm, because I always look at this. You know, all my life, if I saw disease, I try to figure out what caused it. I was always on that side of things. What caused it? Diet? Did the guy do this? Did he get irradiated too much? Did he live near a power line? Did they smoke a lot? You know, this is what I did for 50 years, 40 years of my life. So if I see an economic problem, a meltdown like this, I have to ask myself, what caused it? It didn't come out of the blue. I mean, it happened for a reason. We know the reasons. The same crooks who've been running the casino now are saying, give me $1 trillion, so I'll continue running the casino, and then we'll put in a few soporifics that won't have any effect whatsoever. So finally, the people said to the representatives, Republican and Democrat alike, if you dare do this, if you go along with this crooked bunch of rats, we're going to throw you out of office. And don't forget for a minute, November, there's an election for more than president. Congressmen are up for re-election. And so the timing was very good. The people were heard. Participatory democracy worked. Sure, maybe we need a bailout, but not this one where they put in money for a La Raza and Acorn, more money for illegal aliens. Are you crazy? They said that they were going to protect us against golden parachutes from the very crooks who did this to us. I read the fine print. Oh, yeah, 20% excise tax. That's Bonnie Frank's answer. Bonnie Frank should be in the gallows for this. Bonnie Frank should be in jail for doing this. Look who they're holding up as an intellectual giant. Nancy Pelosi had the audacity today to say that Bonnie Frank has the intellect to understand this. Bonnie Frank, a man who ran a mail house of prostitution in his apartment in Washington, which is not the least of his sins, by the way. Actually, it was the least of his sins. The mail house of prostitution was nothing if he had brains, but apparently has no brains. Barney Frank has the intellectual capacity to understand this when he's the one who forced greenlining down on banks and said, you got to lend money to unqualified minorities or else we'll sue you. Now Barney Frank's screaming. And Nancy Pelosi has decimated Congress and the Democrat Party. It's Nancy Pelosi's fault. That's why this happened.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the program. We went from the body of the problem to the spirit of the problem in the last couple hours on the show. And I will be here with you for the first segment of this hour, and then Rick Roberts is going to be sitting in for me. I want to do something that's a little unique right now and a little different. Over the weekend, I saw a YouTube piece that has appeared on the internet. First of Sarah Palin introduced during the swimsuit competition in the 1984 Miss Alaska pageant. Frankly, I looked at it enough. These are the liberals who think that they're going to undermine Palin by showing her in a swimsuit. Frankly, I think it's only going to increase her votership. That's number one. They have no idea what they're doing. But then there's another one where they show back in October of 2005 a reverend from Kenya praying for the protection of then-Governor Sarah Palin against witchcraft, among other things, in Wasilla, Alaska. She wasn't even a governor then, I don't think. She was the mayor of a small town. And again, what they're doing is mocking Sarah Palin and saying she believes in witchcraft and the reverend. But I want you to listen to this for a minute because there's a very telling statement in this. It's going to work against the liberals. Listen to clip 23.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray. Let's pray for Sarah. Hallelujah. Come on, raise up your hands. Raise them. Hold them and raise them up here. Come on, talk to God about this woman. Come on, talk to God about this woman. We declare favor from today. We say favor, favor, favor. We say grace, my God. We say grace to be rain upon her in the name of Jesus. My God, you make your joy, you make room, you make ways in the desert. And I'm asking you today, we are asking you as the body of Christ in this valley, make a way for Sarah, even in the political arena.
Let's stop right there. Make the way for Sarah, even in the political arena. It's almost, you could say it's comedic, but the liberals are mocking Sarah Palin, saying that this Bishop Thomas Muthi, who's a Kenyan preacher, who made these prayers over Sarah Palin, should be mocked and laughed at. But look what he just said. He begged God. He asked God. He impeached God. He implored God to please make way in the political arena for Sarah Palin. And look where she is today. You say there's no God's hand involved? I mean, maybe the opposite is true than what the atheist would have you believe, that you should laugh at her. I actually was so amazed by this when I looked at it on YouTube that I put it up on michaelsavage.com, and then I started to think about it. I said, maybe I should call up this Kenyan preacher and have him make a prayer over me. If he could get this unknown mayor of Alaska to the point of becoming a vice presidential nominee, maybe he has a direct link to somebody up there. I said to myself, see, there are many different ways to look at things. They're not all as cut and dried as you may think. There's always a spiritual element to everything. You hear that? Now, he is from Kenya, this reverend, who is now a Bishop Thomas Muthi. He is from Kenya, but there's no reason to believe he's related to Obama in any way, no matter what you may be reading on the internet. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website. New York City is the city. WOR is the great station. Great station in New York. My audience in New York, you say I love it so much. Why do I love the audience in New York so much as I do, for example, other places, but more? More love, why? Do I love the New York audience more or less? Do I pay too much attention to the New York audience on WOR? Frank, welcome to the program.
Michael, thank you very much. What you've been saying about the scriptures is you're right on target. And what's really frightening, Michael, is that if you look at the 26th chapter of Leviticus, when God is reprimanding the Jews for turning away from him, he says, if you don't listen to my statutes and my ordinances, I will increase the plague on you seven times over what I just did. He says this three times, so he ramps it up 21 times in Leviticus. And that's what's going to happen.
Here's what worries me, and I said 2 weeks ago when this started to happen, that what Osama bin Laden tried to do and could not do with the attack on the World Trade Center, remember what he wanted to do? He wanted to weaken our financial system. Remember that? You remember what Osama bin Laden said, why he attacked the World Trade Centers? Because he wanted to weaken our financial system. What he could not achieve, I said 3 weeks ago, the Wall Street gang did achieve. Remember when I quoted The Enemy Within from my great book, The Enemy Within? Remember when I quoted Cicero? Does anyone remember that? You want to raise your hand if you remember Cicero? Because as I go out this hour, play music, play a breaker for me. I'm going to go in my library, take me 10 seconds, play a breaker for 1 minute. I got to get The Enemy Within and Cicero.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above.
Okay, I got it. I'm back here at the microphone. Marcus Cicero, Roman orator, statesman, 42 B.C., a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. That's what Cicero wrote in 42 B.C. It's at the face of my book, The Enemy Within. I rest my case. A prophet in his own time is not revered, as you well know. He's reviled. The prophets of yesteryear were reviled, just as the prophets of the radio today are called every name under the sun, while those who go along with the status quo are held up on golden chairs. That doesn't mean that you got to stop what you're doing. What you do is you keep putting out what you believe to be true at all costs. At all costs. They don't want to advertise on my show, it's their loss. They want to advertise on the other guy's show, that's their loss. And so here we are. They're going out of business, those who won't advertise on my show. They're going out of business. The very car companies that cater to the perverts, they're not going to be in business. You know, I have to go back. The Christians of this country got so mad at Ford for what they were doing with the gay parades and the gay this and the gay that they started boycotting Ford. Ford took billions of dollars in losses one quarter after another, and nobody in the media would tell you it was related to the Christian boycott of Ford, would they? They wouldn't tell you that. Instead, they kept lying to you. The very same fork-tongued people in the media are lying to you again. Let's go back to Friday night. I watched the debate. McCain clearly won. He started out very shaky. Obama was shaky. They were both scared to death. They were like schoolboys, not like presidential candidates, which, by the way, is the sum total of the whole problem. Neither of them encourage confidence. Okay. But as the debate wore on, McCain, the old warhorse, found himself and he started to get stronger. The old Navy pilot came alive again and he started firing his missiles and he was winning. And Obama started, by the end, Obama looked like a junior college professor. Not like a fool, not at all like a fool. He looked like a junior college professor who was out of his league, being lectured to by his daddy. That's what it looked like to me. Yet I wake up the next day, everybody in the media, the fork tongue brigade, Obama wins. Well, I guess people see what they want to see. I didn't speak to anyone who thought Obama won. And some of the people I spoke to were Democrats. They thought Obama did a terrible job and he didn't look qualified for the job. That's what I saw. Now, why do I bring that up today when it's ancient history already? From Friday night already to Monday night is ancient history. Why? I'll tell you why. Here we have a bailout that is defeated. But you think you're going to read in tomorrow's paper why it was defeated? You think that you're going to read tomorrow that the people won and that the Wall Street gang lost? You think you're going to read that anywhere when the newspapers are owned by those who are financed by Wall Street? No. But you heard it here on the Savage Nation. You heard it here because I'm not financed by Wall Street. Doesn't mean I hate Wall Street or I'm against Wall Street. There are honest Wall Street brokers, honest Wall Street bankers. Unfortunately for us, they weren't running the casino. Let's look at the way the top talk radio host reacted to this bailout proposal. Rush Limbaugh supported the bailout. Sean Hannity supported the bailout. Bill O'Reilly supported the bailout. Michael Savage opposed the bailout. Laura Ingraham opposed the bailout. That's the top five. I'll let you decide which side of the aisle they are on, you are on. Well, they know which way their bread is. They know who butters their bread. There's no question about it. Just as they supported the Dubai ports deal because they knew which way the wind blows. They're all good weathermen. They're in the media. And if you're in the television media, you got to be close to weathermen. Weathermen, after all, appear usually before you or after you. And they know which way the wind blows. And so they usually go which way the wind blows. I am not on television. I'm only on radio. Moreover, I'm syndicated by an independent syndicator. And that tells you everything you need to know. And I want to conclude before I turn this over to Rick Roberts as follows. I did not say that I am not in favor of a bailout. I am totally opposed to this bailout. I do not want to see this bailout pass, and I'm glad that the American people spoke and they were heard. I am sorry that Congress is closing for Rosh Hashanah tomorrow and Wednesday. I think it's a shame. I think that Congress should call themselves back in session tomorrow and Wednesday because Wall Street's going to be roaring tomorrow, and God forbid it roars down again. No, they have no right to take off for any holiday. In fact, they should call the holiday with respect and say we're coming back in because this is a multiracial nation. It's a multi-religious nation. We can't do this. Not in a time like this. We're coming in session tomorrow, for God's sakes. We're not living in the 1940s or 50s. New York doesn't run the country or the world anymore. No, they should come in tomorrow. They should come in on Wednesday and do their darn jobs. But we got to get rid of the troika, the comrades, the three comrades who did this to us. If a surgeon slips and cuts an artery, you don't let that surgeon go back into the surgical theater. You get a new surgeon. Get rid of Bernanke. Get rid of Cox. Get rid of Paulson. Fire them and put in three businessmen who have profitable companies who are not living on credit. They can be found. You can find some billionaires who still have profitable businesses who are not playing funny books. Just as in World War II, the government had to enlist top businessmen, as I said to you. You ever look at these pictures from World War II and you see paunchy generals in their 60s? You say, what the heck are they doing? They don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his early days. They don't look heroic. But they were brilliant. They were the smartest men of America at the time, and they were asked to leave their businesses to run the war effort. They didn't go out on the battlefield. They ran the propaganda ministry, NBC Sarnoff. They ran whatever needed to be run because they were the best minds of our time. We can do that again. Certainly not these three. They're incompetent. They took the ship and crashed it into the iceberg to get them off the bridge. One last note before I depart, and I know I'm running late. I've been reading a history of World War II, the battle in Italy, 1943-44, over the last few weeks, as I told you last week. And there was one particular engagement against some of the toughest Nazi commandos who were defending a mountain pass. And do you know who the U.S. engaged for this mountain division, this particular portion of the mountain division, according to this book? The mountain division, the 10th Mountain Division, is already some of the toughest men in the military. We know that. But within the 10th Mountain Division, they got the toughest of the tough. You know where they got them from? They said various ruffians from the streets and the gangs of America. Lumberjacks at that time. Lumberjacks, people of that nature, were linked up with some of the toughest hoods from the streets. Real tough guys were enlisted into this brigade to fight the toughest of the Nazis. Now, many of them were mowed down like hay, unfortunately. But the government didn't say that we can't use you because you are of the wrong from the wrong side of the street. They went and they got them. They needed the toughest guys to climb up to the highest peaks and fight the Nazis in the fog. And that's where they had to go to get the toughest guys to fight the Nazis in the fog. And that's where we have to go to get the toughest guys to fight the pirates of Wall Street. I'll be back.
Savage.
When President Bush took office, he inherited President Clinton's surpluses 4 years in a row, budget surpluses, on a trajectory of $5.6 trillion in surplus. And with his reckless economic policies, within 2 years, he had turned that around. And now, 8 years later, the foundation of that fiscal irresponsibility, combined with an anything-goes economic policy, has taken us to where we are today. This government, in 8 years, has followed a right-wing ideology of anything goes, no supervision, no discipline, no regulation. Again, all of us are believers in free markets, but we have to do it right.
And they all lived happily ever after at Nancy's house. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you very much. You're on the Savage Nation. We're going to do a little business here in just a bit, and then we're going to take all of your calls. Well, Pelosi submarined this entire deal. If you're a Democrat shaking your head, I wanted the bailout. I didn't. And I urged as many of you as I possibly could to get on the phone and say, no, not to this thing. This won't work. Because basically, this is Wall Street and inside the Beltway doing business as usual. You know, you make bad decisions, you have to live with the consequences. They should be no different. You know, something probably needs to be done, but this was not it. Pelosi pretty upset. Well, the Democrats can get over it because they're the majority. If they had some consensus, they could have passed this thing without one Republican vote, but they didn't do it because 93 of them didn't think it was a good idea either. Nancy Pelosi brought in partisanship with that little speech, and you could see, I must say, for the first time in my unnatural life, I will have to say thank you to Nancy Pelosi for killing this deal. It needed to be killed. And I'll tell you why. As a matter of fact, what I'll do is this. I'm going to lay this thing out, very quick timeline for you, so you know exactly how this thing happened and how we ended up where we are. Because you can't really figure out where you're going unless you know where you've been, right? Okay, we'll do that. We'll take your calls. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK. That's 1-800-449-8255. And have you gone to michaelsavage.com today? Okay, all right. I know I always remind you, you got to make time to go there. All right, now, the bailout died. I, for one, am glad. It was a bad bill. It didn't hold people responsible for their actions. People weren't living the consequences of their actions. And quite honestly, I don't think hardworking Americans should be bailing people out that have other ways to go. Now, having said that, you know the Democrats control, right? I mean, they've got the majority. All they had to do was get their ducks in a row, and this was a done deal. But they didn't. 93 of them said, no, you're right. This is a bad bill, and we're not going to go with it either. Nancy Pelosi comes up in what should have been a bipartisan effort, starts to inject, it's Bush, you know, the war for oil and this and that. And I don't like his haircut either. And, you know, well, listen, here's Nancy Pelosi.
This government in 8 years has followed a right-wing ideology of anything goes, no supervision, no discipline, no regulation. All of us are believers in free markets.
Yeah, it's hard to give a good speech when you're making it up as you go along. All of a sudden, I mean, you could see the Dow just, I mean, she would speak, Barney Frank would speak, and it was down again. But it recovered okay. I mean, it's not great. But here's the deal. Nancy Pelosi is the epitome of being a partisan politician, as is Barney Frank and a few others. Let me tell you the truth, all right? Now, that's what you expect when you turn on the Savage Nation. Here's the truth. Why are we in this economic meltdown? Well, in the dark days of the Carter administration, remember Carter? Yeah, okay. Congress passed something called, well, it's lovingly referred to as the CRA. It's the Community Reinvestment Act, all right? Community Reinvestment Act, CRA. It essentially reduced the requirements to buy homes. But in 1990, now that was back during Carter's administration. In 1995, as Pelosi was referring to Clinton and the reserves, under the Clinton administration, the CRA lending standards were lowered even further. The Boston Federal Reserve produced a manual for mortgage lenders that said, at least in part, discrimination may be observed when a lender's underwriting policies contain arbitrary or outdated criteria, listen, that effectively disqualify many urban or lower income minority applicants. In other words, they don't have a down payment, no problem. No visible means of support, no problem. Lenders were told credit history, proof of income, and source of down payment were outdated criteria. I don't know. Have you applied for a loan yet? It's evidently still dated as far as those lenders are concerned. Would you loan someone a significant amount of money without some assurance of repayment? Of course not. Well, the intimidation didn't stop there. The Fed warned that banks that fail to comply with the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, or Regulation B, can subject a financial institution, listen, to civil liability for actual and punitive damages in individual or class action suits. So there was no question that the lenders were threatened with charges of violating the CRA if they didn't make home loans to people with poor credit ratings or no visible means of support or no down payment or couldn't speak the language. Community activist groups like Acorn, does that ring a bell, Obama? Yeah, okay. Patrolled lenders to make sure that unqualified buyers could get loans. When Obama was a lawyer slash community activist, he represented Acorn and sued Fannie Mae to reduce the requirements for getting mortgages even further. So it's laughable having this information, watching him talk about, oh, the government needs to do this. Wait a minute. When you were an attorney, you sued him to lower the standards even further. So what happened? The lenders complied. Why shouldn't they? They're making dough. Loaned to high-risk buyers. As any banker will tell you, your credit rating determines your interest rate. So what? These high-risk buyers wound up with adjustable-rate mortgages. To ensure that these lenders were not stuck with all the bad loans, lenders could sell those loans to, well, Federal National Mortgage Association, Fannie Mae, or the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Company, Freddie Mac, both publicly owned government-sponsored enterprise, GSE, that's what it's called. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, they urged Freddie and Fannie to buy more loans. They were encouraging lenders to make more loans, developers to build more, real estate agents, appraisers, loan officers, and lenders, all eager to comply because everybody was making the do-re-mi, all right? All you had to do was follow the money. So when the subprime market increased, investment banks also wanted in on this money-making machine and bought mortgage bank securities, MBS. They came with implied government guarantees, so what's the risk? The buyer didn't care because they were getting a house. The lenders didn't care because they were going to sell to Freddie or Fannie anyway. Freddie and Fannie didn't care because they're going to sell to investment banks. And the investment banks didn't really care because they thought the loans were backed by the government. All of this went pretty well until the housing market went down. The interest on the arms increased and the house of cards collapsed on itself. So the poor people who couldn't afford the houses in the first place really couldn't afford them when the price of gas, food, and everything else started going up. So they started defaulting on their loans and pop, went the bubble. But that was unknown. This could have all been avoided if not for a liberally controlled Congress. Because Nancy Pelosi just told you, for all intents and purposes, this was a Republican problem. This was a Bush problem, even though it goes back to the Carter administration. While President Bill Clinton realized that Freddie and Fannie were out of control, the Democrats in Congress did what? They even blocked him. Every year since he took office, including 17 times just this year, President Bush echoed Bill Clinton's warnings on Freddie and Fannie. Congress ignored each and every one of them. Every one of them, going back to 2001, 2002, multiple times in 2003. So why did Congress ignore the warning from both President Clinton, their guy, and President Bush? Simple. Money. Freddie and Fannie acted like a piggy bank for the politicians. So there you go. Pelosi should be talking to fellow Democrats, Franklin Raines, Jim Johnson, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, Maxine Waters, Schumer, Gorelick, just a few of the politicos that raked in millions. Oh, yeah, Barack Obama got a few bucks, while encouraging the irresponsibility. So when she comes out and starts talking about, well, you know, that's the ideology and Bush this and Bush that, it's just laughable if you know anything about the historical documentation that precedes this mess. John in Fort Lauderdale. John, thanks for waiting. How you doing, John?
Yes. You know, Rick, Michael has been right about everything, and he continues to be right. And my predictions have also been prophetic. This is what I see after the bailout is ultimately rejected. First, the Dow will probably go down and bottom out at about 9,000. Many more financial institutions will collapse, but the ones that survive will grow bigger and stronger and fill the vacuum.
Yep.
The dollar will increase in value, deflation will set in, and the price of oil will go down, way down. It'll be a better life and a more realistic life for the American people.
I think, John, you're right. This thing will correct itself. It always does. The last time around, they corrected by rewriting accounting structures and such. Yeah, banks that fail, they fail. They'll be bought up by other banks. The banks will become stronger, more solvent, with greater lending capacity, with greater reserves. But more than anything else, rejecting this on a moral basis sends the message to Washington, you don't own the American taxpayer. You use this this entire Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing as your own personal piggy bank, going to it every time the carnival came to town. You didn't want to ask mom and dad for spare change, so you just went and shook the money, and there we go. And then when that went away, you tried to use the American taxpayer as your piggy bank. And the American taxpayer said, no, no, thank you. And you know what? The greatest thing that I saw today, and they were coming under criticism, I saw Democrats and Republicans alike being criticized because they were doing what? They were afraid of their constituency. I actually heard people on all the cable channels saying, well, so-and-so didn't vote because he was afraid of his constituency. So-and-so didn't vote because he received so many calls and faxes from his constituency. Yeah, that's the point. We send them to Washington to be our representative, not to be our pimp. I'm glad they're afraid of their constituency. I'm glad they take note of our displeasure. And then I heard one of these self-appointed news anchors of one of these things actually had the audacity to say, well, you know, it's okay to listen to your, I'm not making this up. This is paraphrasing, obviously, but pretty close. Well, it's okay to listen to your constituency, but at some point you just have to lead. Excuse me? It's okay to listen? Yeah, well, go ahead and throw them a bone and tell them you're listening to them, but at the end of the day, you got to do what you want to do. You got to do what you think's right. Well, I'm glad that person's not running for office. Houston, Texas, Randy. Randy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Michael was absolutely correct when he was talking about, you know, we're at war with this. But, you know, simply emailing your congressman and calling, that's not enough. What we really need to do is need to drop a bomb on these crooks. I'm talking like an advertising bomb to get the actual facts, actually how you just stated it, you know, about the bailout out there. You know, if we do a full-page ad in the New York Times, other major newspapers, Wall Street Journal, do this especially before the elections, that we can get heard. You know, like Mike said, you know, we've got a voice, but we really need to put an amplifier on it and just do full-page ads. You know, as far as the cost of it, you know, he did his defense fund, and this is equally important. Actually, this is more important than that defense fund. The listeners.
Well, Randy, here's the thing that I have found over the time I've been a talk show host. I like the idea. The idea, I suppose, in theory, makes a lot of sense. But something like I just gave to you, going back to the Carter administration, through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, unfortunately, that's so long that if you put it in print form, the American public, the majority of Americans never read that far. I mean, that's why newspapers are designed the way they're designed. You know, you get the tease at the top. Usually it's some type of double entendre or something. But and then, you know, if you don't hook them in that first paragraph, you're done. You know, God forbid if they got to turn a page, continue the story someplace. You know, I'd like to see it on websites across America, because a lot of people get their news from websites. And if you go to michaelsavage.com, a lot of this information is right there. But you know, once the American people are informed, they make the right decision. Given half a chance, the American people generally always do the right thing. This bailout was not the right thing. And I'm glad. I'm glad their elected representatives got the phone calls, the emails, the faxes. You know, is that enough long term? Probably not. But it was enough at this particular juncture to stop this thing dead in its tracks, so we don't take the first step, or the second or third, depending on your point of view, to socialism. Because it was wrong. It was just absolutely wrong. Pennsylvania, John. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Kindly humor my alliteration for a moment, because these Pied Pipers of Panic that propagated this, you know, pornographic financial situation, they lost round one, but you better believe that they're going to be back in spades with round two. And now these purveyors of political pablum are trying to push their poison down our palates. And this reminds me of the canceled TV show, only I'm renaming it. It's called DC Fear Factor, where they're going to make us eat these eyes and these brains or these entrails. And it should be their entrails.
Well, John, you're right, and you know, I agree with Michael. Something's got to be done. But before anything is done, one must reorganize. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? It doesn't happen. You got to reorganize. Get rid of these. Get rid of Cox. I mean, I'm basically repeating what Michael said. But, I mean, that's what you do. You get rid of Paulson. Get rid of Cox. Get rid of Bernanke. You get rid of the guys. You have to reorganize. Reorganize a whole different group of people to come in, take a look at this thing. It wouldn't hurt my feelings to get Mitt Romney involved. I mean, this guy knows a thing or two about business. Put a panel together. Some people that will represent the American taxpayer, because at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you're going to be reaching for your wallet or your checkbook or your credit card. Well, wait a minute, not your credit card. What was it Presidente Jorge Bush said? You won't be able to get a credit card or put food on your family, or your cars will stop running because of some electromagnetic force in outer space. I mean, I have not heard such garbage since John Kerry was running for president. I mean, it was, you know, the sky is falling. We're, you know, our kids are going to be wrestling the dogs in the backyard for the last bone. It was nonsensical. It was crazy. These people aren't going to go out of business. Some will be bought up by others. They already have been. But, you know, this is one segment of their portfolio. It's not their entire business, for God's sake. All right. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. More of your call straight ahead. 1-800-449-TALK. 1-800-449-8255. Again, Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Rick Roberts, in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage.
They claim to be free market advocates, when it's really an anything-goes mentality. No regulation, no supervision, no discipline. And if you fail, you will have a golden parachute, and the taxpayer will bail you out.
Those days
are over. The party is over in that respect.
If, in fact, that turns out to be the case over the next period, then I will be very cheerfully admit error and take the rest of the year off.
And run my little brothel in the basement. All right. Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage. Michael, sir, thank you very much. Appreciate it. This is the Savage Nation. Pelosi, I guess. No, I don't guess. I know. She believes that we're all a bunch of five-year-olds fighting over the same ball out on the playground. I mean, how can you make such ludicrous statements when the historical document is there for all to read? It's because of Democrats that were in this mess to begin with. Did you hear Maxine Waters today? Oh, Lord. It was like, yes, I know we're in this mess because we wanted more stuff to give our constituents, but hey, all we need to do is give them more stuff and they'll be happy. What has that got? What's Cynthia McKinney from Texas? Man, if Cynthia McKinney and I have had a couple smackdowns in the past. And in my opinion, for what it's worth, just in my opinion, this woman is just smack dab nuts. Please don't ever buy into the fact that the people elected to represent you are smarter than you are. They are not. They are not. I venture to say the vast majority of people listening to the Savage Nation could do just as good a job on the Hill as these people could. I mean, listen to them, for God's sake. I mean, did you hear these people on the floor today? I think they each got, what, 2 or 3 minutes? They're just educated morons. Never, ever, please do not buy into that. Don't ever believe that you do not possess the intelligence of these people that purport to speak on our behalf. It's just not true. Sacramento, Tommy. Tommy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How are you, Tommy?
Just great. Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Roberts.
And you, sir.
I just called to say that I think you're right. I think that the power of the citizenry is often underestimated. For the first time in my life, I really felt like I had to email all of my elected representatives over the weekend, and I did. I don't think it helped in my case because I come from crazy California, and Dan Lundgren and Matt Sui voted yes on the bailout.
Right, but you still got Duncan Hunter, and you got Daryl Issa, and you got a few others.
That is accurate, but I don't know if it worked in my case because of where I live. That's all that I'm saying. What I have been reading over the internet is that the reason why so many Democrats were behind this was because Wall Street over the weekend told them that if they voted this down, that they would start to blowing up all of the pension funds and the 401ks of the middle class. And I think that a lot of the Democrats believe them with that.
Nothing would surprise me, Tommy. You're in Sacramento, so you are in the bowels of liberal hell. I mean, you truly are. And I feel for you. I feel your pain. I mean, I do. Living in Sacramento. I mean, these are the people in Sacramento that didn't want Jessica's Law because it may cost too much to track a habitual sex offender. Even though the innocence of a child may be lost once, twice, three times, 10 times, 20 times, they were more concerned about, I don't know, that costs quite a bit, doesn't it? Tommy, I understand what you're saying, but I don't buy into the fact that the calls didn't help, the emails didn't help. They at least helped today. You fought back. The American, as Michael was saying earlier, the American spirit fought back against what everybody else said was a foregone conclusion. It's not. We're not a socialist state, not yet. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.